All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here. I'm back with another video, and this is Maggot Baits. I can't even play this on our normal service because I don't think they're going to be too happy about the content of this game. So, no, you don't know. That's, trust me, this is over the top.
I'm sure it's that's what I'm here to see.
Okay. All right. Are we ready to enter into hell?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. A dry wind bellowed with the Neolithic timber of Foghorn, yet there was no ocean here in this city. Only the gorges between rows of skyscrapers. The sullied night sky, polluted by neon lights, was a dark tone tinged with chartreuse and magenta. The ground was a chilled, stony concrete. The black and brown stains caked upon it were unnatural vestiges of the atrocious works of man. They were the scars of blood and excrement shed in the course of indiscreet barbarism. Scars that had been carved over themselves countless times, creating a look resembling urban camouflage painted in human blood. A clamoring throng filled the pleasure district at 1 a.m. The late night street corner was divided into darkness and light. The garish, directive lights were reminiscent of a peacock. The rough sexual cries of drunkards and whores mingled in the street. However, those all expressed the light of this city. Filled with chaos, boastful pride, freedom, and pleasure, as prosperity greatly eclipsed the light of Tokyo's Kabukicho and Osaka's Minami that had faded under the government's cleanup policies. Meanwhile, the city's darkness was acutely severed from that garish synthetic light. The depth and concentration of that darkness was unparalleled by any pleasure quarter in Japan. It was a dark force ruled by violence and degeneration. The only lights in the darkness were malicious, owlish gazes. Every crack between the walls was filled with predatory hostility, refusing to let the weak and foolish escape. All manner of drugs and even humans were sold regularly in the back alleys. There were no laws, no, not even righteousness to chastise any vices. It was a realm of chaos. People constantly found themselves robbed, otherwise trampled, and violated. The violence so easily dispensed was a perpetual motion machine generating infinite tragedy and resentment. Gunshots echoed with surprising caprice, signaling the unknown end of a life deep within the darkness. Typo. No one ever spared it a second thought. All turned a blind eye and banished it to oblivion. The strong out of arrogance, the weak out of powerlessness. The normalization of vice strongly permeated the air, heaping wretched decay on the human spirit. Filthy maggots took nest in everyone's heart. This was the city, a vile liberated zone, amputated from Earth's laws and reason. No one knows who coined it, but it had become known as Kanto's Pandemonium. It could be said that there were only two rules in that city, if any. Be faithful to all vice. Deceive the righteous, rape the chaste, strangle the holy and hang them high, and sing loud the joy of evil. That would be the first rule. The second rule was accept every absurdity, no matter what exists there, no matter what happens there. All must accept everything there as fact. Kantao's Pandemonium is a world where this world's principles do not apply. The embodiment of the second rule had just made a sudden appearance in one particular market of chaos and depravity. The two walking those streets were women. Both of them stood out of this city in concentrated vulgarity like a crude college. Their cold ceramic tone, their jeweled eyes phosphorescent in the darkness, and their monstrous body parts that broke the human mold, all of those made it clear at a glance that they weren't modern humans. Her ripped muscles surpassed those of a male bodybuilder, and the pattern on her skin was a fearsome tattoo that covered half of her body. The woman's cheeks rose into a sneer at her companion. But despite acting as if she knew everything, her companion never faulted her rude behavior. She deliberately gave her lips an indecent lick. The woman who answered was like a delicate candy ready to crumble in comparison. Her long eyelashes covered her big eyes as she sampled the downtown street corner with her gaze. Multiple eyes were drawn to them, the stolen glances of men like starving beasts before their beautiful bodies. There were well over 10 of them. Okay, be ready for your barf bucket. Hesitating to enact evil was seen as a vice in this city. Despite the fate that should have awaited the women surrounded by that pack of wolves, the pack stood unmoving, hesitating to reach its evil hand forward. Her bared-filled flirtation was an alluring provocation directly to the men's balls. Yet the carnal desires of those animals continued to smolder. They showed no signs of fervency, watching irresolutely from a distance. Their only reason for that? Fear. Any person who lived in the city knew full well exactly what the beautiful, eccentric women before them were. She must have grown impatient with their cowardice. Suddenly, the big tattooed woman, Sandy, bared her fiendish canines. She spoke with a vicious grin, but her words were bait for those men's lustful desires. Their lust squashed their fears as they swarmed the women as if everything had changed. They were drawn toward the women like moths to a flame. Thus, the curtain was drawn on their carnal feast in the public streets. The midnight paths of the sleepless city were never empty of foot traffic. Though all eyes passing that promiscuity witnessed it, none expressed the shock or confusion of spotting something so outlandish. They just passed by, either in silence or after giving their carefree impression. It was clearly a common sight to them. Men and women were brazenly exposing their genitals in public, lustful union. Yet that unbelievable sight was casually overlooked in this city. The concept of abnormal held no meaning here. The women held on the reins of this fornication. They treated the men bearing their pricks like cattle, laying them in a row on the street and straddling them each in turn. Isabel already had the first prick inserted into her crotch. However, that wasn't enough on its own for her, so she reached her hands out for the dicks hanging idly nearby. When she pulled the foreskin down with her finger, a foul odor akin to rotting trash wafted out. His overbearing smegma looked pale and thick like larva, but she savored it with her tongue. She licked his filthy man meat with care, cleaning it and smearing big wads of her saliva over its entire length. After licking up plenty of smegma, she slowly stuffed the drool-slicked head in her mouth. After swallowing it deeply, she started sucking loudly. Deep creases formed in her lips as she brought them together into a round and decent pucker. Isabel's cheeks nearly split as they caved in. Her mouth became almost a perfect vacuum as she sucked on the veiny meat rod. The man in her mouth moaned pitifully. He was coming hard just from her suction, but she hadn't even begun stroking him. Isabel nearly choked on his sudden cum shot before reflexively swallowing it. A milky white thread stretched from her lips as she drew back, but she immediately went down on the next hard penis. She suddenly started sucking relentlessly, as if to forget her earlier resentment. Her slurping was so loud that Her slurping was so loud that it reminded one of tiny explosions. Okay, I don't really like that translation, but whatever. Her little head bobbed in intense speeds like a machine. Countless minor creases formed along her lips as she crudely stuffed her cheeks with man meat, spilling drool mixed with cum. These are actually really well written scenes. Right now, that delicate girl was nothing more than a slutty, cum-draining creature. She continued bouncing her hips with a rough rhythm, too. Her legs were spread in an M, and her lower mouth was greedily indulging in another prick with her hole in her labia drooling like they were starving for it. The man beneath her did his best to thrust his hips, making Isabel lightly bounce. Isabel's small, tight butt bounced up and down rhythmically. Each time, several of her wet folds wrapped around his dick, swallowing it up like an invertebrate and crushing it. Her moist insides must have felt good, judging by the prone man resisting the urge to come. These voice actresses, man, I'm telling you. Her face melted into a flushed expression of pressure. Her mouth hung loosely half open, cramming prick after prick inside. Realizing the man beneath her was getting close, she undulated her hips even faster. Obscene wet rounds echoed as she plunged downwards, sounding like someone racing through a bog. Finally, her skilled positioning broke the man down. The man came with a moan almost like a scream. The hot spray he fired landed in Isabel's pussy as she cried out in orgasm. The thick white milk of his huge cream pie came flowing back out of her. She trembled with deep joy as her vagina took it all. Isabel clenched her folds like a hand bag, wringing out every last drop. She offhandedly kicked the man who just ejaculated out from under her butt. Who's next? There's one... Oh. Despite her youth, the throng of those in line surged forth at her lewd seduction. Isabel casually straddled a new prick, swallowing it into her slutty cum-dripping pussy. It made a grimy, filthy squelching sound. She had inserted the next one while her pussy was still full of cum, and at the same time she had continued sucking the penis in her mouth, guiding it to ejaculation too. Isabel's glistening, moist lips puckered as she bobbed her head up and down. The fierce vacuum of her lips caused a discordant noise akin to rubbing a rubber balloon. She released her lips with a teasing smile. The moment she let it pop free of her mouth, the man who had been enduring with gritted teeth met his climax. His bowed penis spasmed. A huge wad of jizz shot out of its tip. Isabel thrust her pink tongue out, catching his expelled cum. Some of the jizz shot too far, painting her pretty face. She dexterously licked even that misfired portion into her mouth. She gathered the cum in her throat until it filled her little mouth, and then she gargled with it. At the end, her pale throat undulated as she swallowed every last drop of the cum given to her. Yet even as she spoke, her hands were cunningly seeking new dicks already, stroking them with lust. Her gaze turned towards the tattooed Sandy, who was violently holding men down and violating them. She was fucking their pricks so intensely and one-sidedly, it could have been called rape. Her thighs were so muscular they brought a racehorse to mind as they pumped fiercely like the strong pistons of heavy machinery. Her pace was murderous, and the man between her legs was clearly crying out in pain. He tried to thrust his hips as she demanded, but he couldn't press back against Sandy's force. Her toned rump slammed down on him, Sandy's pussy clamping furiously around his dick with every dive. Her pressure sent the man beyond pleasure and into fear of having his dick amputated by that vice. She grabbed the man's hair and wrenched him up, causing his scalp to bleed as the root snapped. The man cried out in further pain. Her fierce grinding was merciless, jarring him so hard she could have broken all his bones. Her beautiful yet ferocious face was flushed with a woman's open lust. She traced her tongue across her lips as she beat her genitals against him.
It's not what you want to hear during sex.
Finally, the physical friction was about to force the man beneath her to climax, sensing his ejaculatory contraction, Sandy bared her fangs in a sneer. Her pistoning motion accelerated like a spurred horse racing off. There was a sound of ribs breaking and the man coughed up blood from punctured organs. He spasmed and came at the exact same time. Sandy erupted in vulgar joy, drooling as she orgasmed and arched back on top of the man. With his final breath, the man's death spasms forced his body to continue climaxing. She wasted no time enjoying her afterglow before wrenching the closest man beneath her. Ignoring the frightened screams escaping his lips, she could have easily torn his dick off with how violently her hands forced him to grow erect. With a sadistic sneer, Sandy straddled the man. She forced his semi-erect penis into the opening of her vagina. Then she used force to shove his tip deeper. Her hot, wet flesh enveloped the man, making him moan. Her sinewy thighs and buttocks began humping once again. The overly strong pressure of her vagina and the force of her position caused the man to start screaming again. Their fucking continued without any end in sight. The men's initially vigorous carnal desire was waning as the greed of those unnatural women eclipsed it. Isabel's fellatio had yet to stop. As she greedily drained prick after prick, she wasn't even tiring. She was clearly becoming more animated. The same went for Sandy. Every time she received a man's cum, her movements only grew more powerful. After roughly an hour of that had passed, none of the men retained any will to move. Their wilted dicks were soiled with jizz and pussy juices, left to lie on the streets like unloaded tuna. Isabel looked down on the men lying by the roadside, sincerely unsatisfied. The earlier charm and seduction in her eyes was gone, and all that remained was disgust towards those men. Sandy spat those words with the light tone of a playful child as she sneered. One man looked up through his foggy awareness, his eyes reflecting an outlandish phenomenon. The abnormality originated from Sandy's palms. Even though she bore no wounds, fresh, crimson blood suddenly sprang forth, dripping down and hardening into a new shape. Chilling, weighty blades sprung into being from her shed blood. "A brutal edge," someone called with a shriek. Her rocky, abnormal muscles flexed, and in the next moment a howl sounded from an iron-toned gust. The seven men standing in its arc were sliced in a perfect stroke, forming 28 lumps of flesh. A huge spray of blood erupted from them, blotting out the sky. There was an unpleasant sound, like a wet rag slamming down. Vivid pink and orange entrails steamed on the road, mass-produced human remains. The fierce tattooed woman stood in the spreading pool of blood wearing an intoxicating smile like an evil Venus born from the foam of a sanguine ocean. Both of her hands held iron fangs that glistened in the moonlight, a pair of twin serrated blades dripping with fresh human blood. Their massacre was like a hurricane. The sudden, senseless brutality drove fear into the fleeing survivors. Next, their heads splattered like persimmons, shattered in sequence from right to left, spewing gray matter and eyeballs about. An iron ball connected to a chain whirled with a howl. The brutal spikes of that morning star mercilessly crushed six men together with ease. Isabel clicked her tongue in frustration after swinging her iron ball. Her impulsive massacre was nothing more than a game. Only a scant few survived after that moment of violence. But those had already lost their limbs or had their bones crushed, and they couldn't walk well. Sandy and Isabel walk through these dregs, crushing them to death underfoot like they were grapes. The whimsical violence that exploded from those women was at the same time an unpredictable natural disaster. Some passerbys had been caught in the havoc too, but the chaos was only temporary. Merely a few minutes later, the Pleasure District streets regained their favor as if nothing had happened. The blood and bits of flesh scattered underfoot became stains on the pavement from the soles of those passing through. And thus the monstrous women parted, leaving behind the scent of brutality and vulgarity. Yet no one in the city paid it a second glance. Because everyone here already understood, no matter what tragedy or menace those things may bring, it was impossible to stop them. The same as a tornado, the same as a tsunami. In which case, all they could do is accept it in silence, accept the reality of women-shaped disasters living in this corrupt city. All it meant was that such things existed here. In this city, that threat held overwhelming weight over any logic. Nearly 7 years had passed since their arrival. Originally, some tried to harm those monstrous women, but all attempts were met with atrocious failure. No fervent hail of gunfire, even a direct hit from large explosives, could harm them, let alone kill them. In contrast, their primitive weapons could crash supersonic airplanes and split buildings like something out of a cartoon. Their power was so absurd it couldn't be possibly following the laws of the natural world. Disaster's witches. Alternatively, disaster's bitches. That's what some foreigners called these terrifying women after viewing a publicly uploaded video of them on the internet. Their supernatural power was obtained by lying with men and extracting their semen. Thanks to that blessing, the scoundrels living in this city both feared them as devils and worshipped them as goddesses. Women who ruled men through cruelty and pleasure. They were beings truly worthy of being called witches. However, through fear and worship, and also due to their beauty, those women never stopped stirring conflicted lust into the evil-hearted men here. All of them secretly harbored a dark longing for conquest, wishing they could degrade and violate those mysterious beings if possible. Which is why, once again, a party to satisfy that demand was being hosted tonight in one of the deepest, darkest corners of the city. Inexhaustible hatred and meticulously crafted traps have now resulted in the capture of one young girl. No hope for mercy lies at the end for her. The only thing planned is a single night's base and ruthless sport. The place was a crucible where the most rotten souls in this vile city gathered. Viewer, I have to stress some warning here. There is some really fucked up shit about to happen. Severe torture, severe gore. So if this is something that you don't like to see, you may want to turn the video off now. Tonight, once more, a witch was dragged out to the cruel feast, like sewage to be flushed down the drain. A glow of dim spotlights filled the hall as it began to stir with the casino's unique, dark fervor. However, none of those here were paupers looking to gamble themselves away for a fortune. Everyone here was rolling in money. The silent faces at the card tables and slot machines proved they weren't seeking riches. Those who visited this hall were looking to experience entertainment that could only be had in this underworld of Kanto's Pandemonium. Because of that, a clear, unspoken anticipation rested beneath the surface. That invisible excitement was maintaining the decadence of this space. No matter what sort of gambling people were engaged in, they all knew it was simply a momentary sideshow. I'm having a bad streak today. I've been more indecisive than usual. Well, let's both make up for it at tonight's main event. Yeah, I can't wait. Let's hope the Goddess of Fortune is on our side. The men exchanging coarse laughter were almost representative of everyone in this hall, outfitted in expensive tailor suits and pure gold watches. They were the type of people one didn't expect to find in the disorder and chaos of Kanto's Pandemonium. They all bore a unique air of social success and wealth. Suddenly, the hall went dark. In that moment, the languid atmosphere transformed as voices cried out with excitement and wild enthusiasm from different corners. A high-spirited announcer aired on the mic, and then a spotlight shone down on the stage prepared in the hall. The crowd stirred and cheered as all eyes focused on the stage, where a young girl was crucified. Her wax-toned skin was reminiscent of a ceramic doll. Her eyes glowed like amethyst jewels, and an abnormal appendage resembling bunny ears rested on her head. As the announcer took care to note while building up the crowd, Allison's characteristics were reminiscent of disastrous witches. However, that invincible goddess of brutality was now somehow helplessly bound by restraints designed to hold humans. A dealer began preparations in front of a red and black roulette board placed on stage. A topless man with muscles like a bodybuilder moved next to the bound Allison on stage. His face was covered in a black pointed hood, just like an executioner from Middle Age Europe. Besides the roulette board rested impressive tools whose use had yet to be seen. Chilling blades, such as axes, were all laid out. It looks like we're in for another painful show tonight. My own daughter is about her age, too, so it's an odd feeling. Well, regardless of looks, a witch is a witch. Putting their bodies on the line to make our gambling interesting is all they're good for. While some of the first-time guests looked on with pity, the majority were displaying heated anticipation for the coming show. But the main guest and sacrifice for this abnormal festival, Allison, had already started crying from fear. Allison sobbed as innocently as she appeared. A constant flow of tears was trailing down her cheeks. Her limbs hung limply, restrained with iron shackles, and she showed no resistance. As if she'd lost all power to struggle. Even if she did have any left, the willpower needed to wield it and escape had already run dry. Her reportedly immortal body was free of all scars. However, the gruesome torture she'd undergone had been thoroughly scarred into her mind and soul. She'd been minced and drained of blood and then harshly fucked by the men while on the verge of death. They used her to rape and to fill her womb with the semen she needed to heal her injuries. Once her body was completely healed, they inflicted terrible wounds on her again and continued to repeatedly expose her to that cycle of abuse. Of course, it went without saying that subjecting her to all manner of rape and punishment had worn down her mind and self-esteem in addition to the physical harm. Allison's current state was equivalent to a home whose every pillar had been eaten by termites. It had grown so fragile that any tremor could immediately bring it down. And the humans gathered for this banquet were crowding around to cause that tremor. They were vicious, gruesome lynch mob. The scene was truly fitting to be called a witch hunt. All Allison could do was tremble in fear under hundreds of gazes burning with desire. Though she didn't know what was about to happen here, it was easy for Allison to imagine that she'd face more brutal harm than ever before. The dealer rang the bell to start the betting, and the guests began setting their chips on the choice of number. So far, that was the same as normal roulette. However, the stage contained another chart corresponding to each red and black pocket, and a human body part was listed next to each number. Their corrupt game was about to begin. The crowd suddenly grew heated with vulgar joy and speculation. Chips were placed on the board, one after another, under the spotlight next to red and black numbers corresponding to the eyes, nose, lips, and other limbs. Next, the dealer spun the wheel and tossed in a carved ivory marble. The dealer rang the bell twice, signaling the end of the betting. The marble bounced countless times with a dry rattle. The wheel eventually began to slow as the marble settled down. Many watched with bated breath, filling the hall with a heavy, tense silence. Then the little marble of fate rolled into one of the numbered pockets. The winning guest received his payout. The hall quickly filled with the echoes of bitter shouts and cries unique to gambling. Ah, that's how the first one landed, huh? I would have earned more with a stronger bet. Haha, I was hoping for a lucky break and lost about $300. Well, it's still cheap when you consider it's an entrance fee for this diversion. Though the other chips were collected and money was spent, those who lost the bet didn't seem discouraged. In fact, several couldn't hide their excitement. The reason was because, win or lose, they would still get to witness what they came for. The real aim of this game wasn't the betting, but what came after. Nearly 100 pairs of eyes, brimming with cruel anticipation, turned towards Allison and the stage, all saying, "Now, show us, entice us with your body." Allison sobbed and pleaded, but none here were uncouth enough to listen. Everyone was watching her pathetic state with joy. A drum roll played during its theatrical pause, and all the guests focused on the stage. Even though the spectators already knew the result, they gave the show a typical reaction and applauded. Allison flinched and tilted her head in confusion at the thunderous applause and cheers directed at her. The black-hooded, muscular executioner beside her selected the optimal implement from the array of tools and displayed it to the crowd. It was a pair of rending scissors used in sewing, a pair of joined iron blades commonly seen in everyday life. The crowd stirred again and rooted him on. With those words from the announcer, the executioner stood before Allison. Then he pinched her left ear between his fingers and slid the rending scissors next to her little ear. Allison held her breath and froze at the cold metal touch against her ear. Her reason didn't want to accept what was about to happen and fought against her instincts, trying to prepare her for the pain that would follow. With a snip, a bead of fresh blood began to ooze. Every time the scissor blades closed, it sounded like they were cutting through stiff rubber. He supported the ear with his fingers as it hung half-connected until he finished cutting it off. The last few millimeters practically tore off in his hands. Allison screamed, her body shaking. The executioner held the small, bloody scrap of flesh so proudly to the audience. It used to be attached to her body. The intense shock from its loss hit Allison alongside sharp pain. Fresh blood pumped out from the base of her ear as she sobbed. Allison's left ear was cleanly off, just as announced. There was a ruthless attraction where the numbers on the roulette wheel would determine what body part was lopped off. The announcer's call caused the dim hall to echo with cheers and whistles of agreement. Yes, that was the true purpose of tonight's banquet. Gambling was but foreplay, and everything was meant to elicit a melody of agony and screams from the supreme offering, a witch. Blood flowed from half her face with each pulse. The loud echo of her heartbeat inside her body was frightening. The vast number of adults sneering at her with vicious looks was terrifying. With no one listening to her sobbing pleas, Allison could only cower in fear and cry in pain. The dealer spun the roulette again, tossed in the ball, and the guests placed their chips with even more excitement than before, imagining what part it might be, praying to see their choice cut off next. Her cracked voice squeezed out through her tears, but the ivory marble unsympathetically came to a stop and settled on the next number. The faded number was read out to cheers and screams from the crowd. Then the corresponding part was read too. The applause and cheers were even louder than they were for her left ear. Allison's expression stiffened with despair. The executioner began selecting a new blade. He chose a heavy-looking axe used for chopping firewood. He stood before Allison, giving the crowd a good look at it. The executioner gave her desperate pleas no answer. He only took the woodcutter's axe and its meter-long handle, wound up like a batter, and swung hard. Kathuk! I guess that's how you say that. The thick sound of sliced flesh and severed bone echoed in the hall. The executioner hit his target, and his heavy blade had hammered through Allison's right femur. She let out a hoarse scream far removed from her innocent appearance. Allison's leg was cut near the joint and left rolling on the stage like a daikon radish. The severance of her aorta caused a fierce smell of blood to fill the room. Seeing the large quantity of fresh blood splurting from her missing leg, Allison shrieked. Allison writhed in agony like a spring, forcing her restraints to creak. Even though she knew her moving her body would only cause her to lose more blood, she couldn't stop. The pain and mental shock were too strong. Losing a part of the body that had always been there was a torment difficult for any human to endure. Allison's body spasmed as she wheezed and hyperventilated. Allison Chan, your leg's right there, right in front of you. Just as the spectator said, Allison's severed right leg was lying on the floor before her, like a disconnected piece of a puppet. Allison desperately pleaded with the executioner holding an axe. The executioner moved, drawing closer to Allison's leg. However, he didn't pick it up, but he certainly didn't give it back to Allison either. The executioner's axe swung down onto the lump of flesh that used to be her leg. Ooh, what a harsh blow to her. He was thorough, chopping down several times and splattering vivid red flesh and blood. Ground meat mixed with white bone fragments were all that was left of Allison's leg. Allison's high-pitched shriek at the sight roused the crowd to an uproar. Their thrilled, mad jubilation echoed throughout the hall. The executioner gave no reply to Allison's teary cries. He just quietly returned to his post by the tools and stood waiting. The audience was genuinely loving the young girl's bawling. They stared at her with fire in their eyes, impatiently waiting for the next roll. Yes, this torture wasn't over yet. The roulette was mercilessly spun again, determining a new number and body part to sever. The hall erupted in cheers. An excited chant of Titty, oh pie, was carried by a portion of the crowd. Allison let out a tiny scream, subconsciously looking down towards her chest. Turning her head down wasn't enough to see the small budding protrusions. However, it did bring the vivid pool of blood from her leg into sight, along with her fate to add even more to the pool. Yes, yes, this is what I've been waiting for. Still, seems kind of pointless to hack them off when they're that small. It would be much better with a big-titted witch. No, a thin slice of boob has its own merits. Think of how pitiful it is to have one cut off when they finally start to grow. Heh heh heh. The amputation of sexual organ had finally been announced. The excitement of the crowd had risen to abnormal levels. There was never any opportunity to see a show like this live on the outside. Even if there were, it'd be impossible to partake in without paying a grand sum and a huge social risk. However, here was the extraterritorial city of Cantal's pandemonium. That wasn't true. No one would charge them of crimes here, and they could fulfill their dark desires with whatever they considered small expenses. The executioner began selecting his blade against anticipatory silence. After a pause, he selected a blade that looked like a mix between a pointed carving knife and a hunting knife. It had a round, sturdy, easy-to-hold grip. Allison tensed and cried out. The deadly blade ignored her plea and pressed its thick, sharp edge against the base of her breast. The moist sound of skinning flesh filled the hall. Her intense screams silenced the sound of the blade. Her breast wasn't severed in one clean blow like the earlier axe. Because it was such a small, delicate portion, it took plenty of time to carefully cut it away. Allison struggled violently with her limbs bound and unable to move. Her thick, hoarse voice continued its animalistic screaming like a broken record. Tears and drool spilled incessantly onto the ground. Her slender breasts and clothes were shaved off down to her ribs, just like a fish getting carved along the bone. Her body wouldn't stop spasming from the intense pain. Her consciousness was foggy from blood loss. Meanwhile, she could hear a heartbeat pounding in her ears. She wasn't hearing it from inside her body, but outside. Her eardrums were picking up her own heartbeat. Blah, that's grotesque. You can see her innards. Allison finally recognized what happened to her body. She groaned again, shedding more tears and drool. The subcutaneous fat and pectoral muscles had been shaven from Allison's chest, leaving her white ribs exposed. Beyond them rested her expanding and contracting lung and her heart, pulsing as proof of her survival. The audience didn't shield their eyes from that miserable sight and instead stared fixated, cheering and panting with excitement. The audience gripped their stomachs in laughter as they applauded his awful humor. Some were laughing so hard they shed tears. There wasn't an ounce of sympathy or mercy in their voices. Everyone here was well aware that they were indulging in the evil of tormenting the weak. Those who were gathered here had purchased their right to enjoy such evil. As the announcer gave his cruel statement, the guests began bidding on the next number. The banquet was increasingly descending into madness. The intensity of suffering forced onto Allison finally exceeded her mind's capacity. Her head shook uncontrollably like some wind-up toy. However, the roulette wheel continued to spin, selecting a number and a new fate for her. And... The executioner's fat fingers reached towards Allison's face. She reflectively closed her eyelids, but he forced them open and shoved his fingers into her socket. Once again, she screamed as loud as possible while convulsing. Even if she didn't want to, she was being forced. At this point, she was an instrument playing a melody of pain. I'm sorry. Oh, no. Well, yeah. Allison screamed in a choked voice. The pain in her eye, combined with her fear, caused her to shed great tears, soaking the executioner's fingers. Even though she desperately pleaded for forgiveness. Even though she stretched her neck to do her best not to struggle. A wet snapping sound rang out. Allison's eyeball was plucked from its socket and dragged out along her thin, turbid optical nerve. The executioner held her small eyeball with its glowing amethyst pupil between his fingers. It cast a pretty bright light under the dim show lights. Well, that's interesting. Unable to bear the intense pain of her nerve being ripped apart, Allison arched back hard and howled. People merrily shouted their cheers at this joke. The young girl covered in blood on stage painted a vividly intense contrast. Allison shuddered like a bug on the verge of death from time to time in the center of that churning madness. Her body was held up by her restraints and she couldn't even raise her head. Her eye socket was empty and devoid of light. It was now nothing more than a hole that shed tears of blood. Allison hung her head, repeating those words like a broken music box. Of course, she's saying, "I'll be home, I'll be home." Her blood-stained, waxen face was plastered with an expression of madness. Meanwhile, the audience continued their murderous game, scoffing at morality. You notice that the narrator doesn't make this look like a good thing. He talks about how evil and how horrible and how malicious this act is. The ivory ball rolled into one of the pockets on the wheel, a pocket that wasn't red or black, the green pocket. The number displayed there was... It's zero. Isn't it too early for that? They're ending it now? Let us enjoy this longer. The result caused the crowd stir, and their voices changed from excited cheers to disappointed sighs. Green zero. In normal roulette, that means dealer takes all. So on the separate chart, that number corresponded to Allison's... severing her head from her torso. In other words, the only method of killing a witch. Everyone here knew that. That was why they were voicing their disappointment at the climax at the end of their show. They felt it was too early. Hey, there's still a lot of bits to cut off, right? Killing Allison Chan is a waste. Can't you go on a bit longer? While the crowd carried on, Allison herself was quiet. She had heard them say her head was getting cut off this time, though. Allison shed tears, snot and drool and blood as she trembled slightly. Her remaining eye was open in shock as she muttered to herself. There was no sign of a will to resist or a resigned acceptance of death. Only the sight of one who reached the depths of despair after the mind and body had been violated with frequent abuse remained. The announcer's proud jest caused the hall to erupt in laughter. Haha, in that case, I suppose there's no winning. We can't beat Allison Chan's good fortune. Even though she was going to lose her life, everyone smiled and applauded Allison's good luck. That's very Japanese. Like, oh, this is sad, but... Basically saying, oh, this is sad, but hey, good, she had good luck. We can't do anything about that. It's a very Japanese thing. The black-hooded executioner grabbed the axe used to sever Allison's right leg and stood before her. Of course, she's saying she's going to die. Faced with death, Allison's mind peacefully broke without a sound. The being that remained in her place was nothing more than an empty shell. The executioner raised his axe. The blade stood still in the air, beautifully reflecting the show light. Wow, they wish her a safe passing. The announcer gave an exaggerated swing downward with his arm. The brutal exultation was about to reach its peak. The extinction of life rendered through brutality to a being that still lived after its murder. Sharing that sight together let them taste a feeling of omnipotence as if they just brought down a god. That was their true essence and entertainment of this corrupt banquet. Their long-awaited climax was about to strike. However, the executioner's axe froze in place. The announcer recognized the change next. A lone man stood in the wings of the stage without others noticing. His nationality was unclear. It was hard to discern if he was Japanese, Chinese, or Korean from the air about him. He had a big scar on his forehead, and his tall frame reached nearly 185 centimeters. Even under his soiled field coat, the burly muscles of his chest and shoulders were obvious. The announcer wasn't paralyzed in place. The announcer was paralyzed in place. Mike still in hand. This intrusion wasn't scheduled. He thought one of the audience members climbed on stage in their excitement. So his eyes roamed from one of the villains guarding the hall to gently pull him down. When his eyes returned back to the man before him, they froze open in terror. The man's long right arm was nonchalantly stretched out. Extending from it was the black barrel of a Franchi automatic shotgun. That might be Franchi, I'm not sure. That was the final image burnt into the announcer's retinas. With a thunderous roar, the 12-gauge buck scattered its 9 pellets. The announcer's face was transformed to mincemeat in a flash. The body in its shredded suit flew back like a wire action actor, crashing into the wall. There it left a red stain reminiscent of an avant-garde design. The sudden violence caused a panic. The guests flooded away in search of an exit. The bodyguards carrying guns fired off shots, but the man had already disappeared from the stage. The guards hastily started looking for him, but new gunshots rent the air, aimed at them from the direction of the fleeing crowd. The spray of buckshot assailed the guards, ripping through the unarmed guests in the way. The man didn't care about non-combatants, planning to use everyone here as a human shield. In his completely discriminate mind, all others here were his enemy. His total callousness made it clear he could resort to such brutish tactics without hesitation. The fleeing guests slammed into one another, driven by panic. When the flow of people started interfering with his stance and his vision, he fired into the crowd without discretion. The sound of his gun didn't stop. In just a scant few minutes, the 5 bodyguards had been wiped out. He loaded 7 new shells without even changing his expression. Starting to sound like some John Wick shit. The last survivor tried to speak in a voice fraught with terror as the gun turned toward him. Even though he tried to show he wouldn't resist, the man silently pulled the trigger. Several more roars and cries rang out, eventually allowing silence to hang over everything. No one was left alive aside from that man. No. Someone was muttering monotonously and hollowly like a record with a jumping needle. The man turned his gaze towards the sound. It came from the witch Allison, who cruelly lost pieces of her body. Crucified and with blood covering her eyes, she was no longer viewing this world. Her mind had broken and died before her body. Allison's self-awareness was already a closed book, returned to the infinite, expanding darkness. She probably wouldn't show any response, no matter the stimuli. She was already a corpse, albeit one with a beating heart. The man spoke for the first time. He called out to someone beyond the door leading outside the hall. Answering his call, she appeared. She was an alien young girl, just like Allison. There was still youth in her looks, and her body had few curves. Her cold skin was like a ceramic doll's, and her eyes glowed pomegranate. She also possessed animalistic abnormal parts. This young girl known as Carol was certainly another one of the witches in the Space City. In her hand, she carried a huge two-handed sword longer than her height. The blade was as thick as a guillotine and damp with fresh human blood. It was evidence of the massacre outside this hall. Any of the guards or guests who escaped were all murdered by this Carol. Grant that girl peace, he said. The man grimly ordered. His true intentions were unclear, but it was likely mercy towards Allison at least. Carol stared at the husk that used to be a girl after hearing his order. His question bore a hint of testing her. Hearing that directed at her, Carol quietly shook her head. She gripped the handle of her large sword, holding up that hunk of metal weighing nearly 100 kilograms. She placed her other hand along the blade and pressed it against Allison's throat. For a brief moment, she stared into those lifeless eyes. Then Carol silently pushed her blade down. The girl's flesh popped like white, ripe fruit. A high-pitched tone like a whistle sounded from her severed trachea. Her tongue and eyeball popped out from the internal pressure, and then there was a crack. With that, her cervical vertebrae was severed, ending the job. New blood sprayed forth like a geyser before quickly stopping. Allison's severed head rolled at her feet. No matter what logic they operated on, beheading was the one method of granting death to the immortal witches. Without her head, Allison's heart began slowing to a stop. Carol's expression was unchanged. She looked down the lump of flesh that used to be called Allison, and then she turned a similarly testing gaze to the man beside her. The man only spoke those words, displaying not even a shred of interest in her gaze. The expression on the side of his face hadn't shown any changes, even during the gunfight. However, that wasn't because this was expressionless. There was a visible glimpse of a dark, maddening passion whirling beneath his black eyes. He was a man who put a cap on his own internal hell with his iron will. The way he carried himself gave off that air of danger like an unexploded bomb. One thing was certain. When that man's cap was unsealed, terrifying violence would erupt and people would die. A man with dark eyes and an alien young girl. It was hard to tell if they suited each other or not, but they both vanished, leaving behind a mountain of corpses and rivers of blood, heading further into unknown darkness. All that is born must live. That is always the one truth that exists at life's beginning. A model life, standards to uphold, and the spirit of doing good and abhorring evil are just a fiction known as ideals that life picks up and appends. But those are all a part of the concept commonly known as humanity. A person is first acknowledged as human when they live alongside that fiction. So, does that mean that harboring enough of those is a condition required to be human? That it shapes the human form like the limbs it should not be without? In that case, when all is said and done, should a person who's lost or abandoned them himself be called a limbless maggot? If that is true, then this story never depicts humans. This is a story for maggots. And I think that's probably a good place to stop.
Yep.
Obviously, I'm going to do a few little bit of upkeep here. Thanks for watching the video. I did definitely want to get to the part where the hero is introduced. Or the, if you want. He's more of an anti-hero, but he's still a hero. And Carol, of course. It gets really deep into the story. There is an actual story here. And, of course, that opening. Everything you see in that opening happens in the game. It's a lot longer. Sometimes, the only thing I don't like about this game is the H scenes and the torture scenes are extremely long, and they do actually take away from the story. Because sometimes I'm like, I don't want to see this person get tortured, I want to get back to the story, because the story is really good, yeah. And the fights are really good. And when you start finding out who people are and what's actually going on, it gets really interesting. Like, there's a big secret behind all this, and it's the most revolting shit I've ever seen in any fucking Japanese media. So, if you're interested in this, you can pick it up exclusively at Manga Gamer. Nobody else has it. Jas doesn't have it. Dempa doesn't have it. I don't think Nutaku has it. It's only at Manga Gamer. And these are the people that also made Euphoria, but I like this better than Euphoria. Like, it's got way more action, and it does have John Wick moments, like you saw that scene where he's fighting that one guy. Yeah, they fight, and they fight pretty damn hard. This is a really good fucking fight scene in this. But, I mean, I wish they had more animation. Like, you see the stuff, but you don't actually get to see it. That's the one thing I don't like. And I wish they would half-ass adapt some of this into a... Like, I think it's good characters and a good story. But, I'm not sure how much the game is right now. I know it was like $50 or something when it first came out. It might have gone down a little bit, so you can check on that. Oh, no. I looked it up recently. It's $44.95. So if that's not too much, this is a long game, and you do have to play it several times because you'll get a bad ending at first. But you have to play it a bunch of times. And don't forget about the Monkey House ending. So, I did see that one. So check that out. But yeah, the game is Maggot Bates. You can get it exclusively at Manga Gamer. And I hope they're not too upset for us. We didn't show anything other than what would be a demo. I don't think we showed too much. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this video exclusively on PeerTube. And this would be the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration, my co-host. And we hope you'll subscribe and continue to watch us do other games. And we're out.
Later.